League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, everybody. Happy 4th of July to y'all. Welcome to our question and answer episode. This falls directly after the panel episode that we dropped on Monday. Again, if you didn't get a chance to listen to that one, probably best for you to stop listening to this right now. Go back and listen to the episode Arjun and Akash take on USC. And then come back and listen to a bunch of dope college kids ask some really great questions. Yeah, I'm going to shut the fuck up and let y'all listen. Enjoy.
I just want to, there is limited time left. We can keep going, or we wanted to see if we should start at this moment opening it up to questions. Raise your hand if you got questions. Oh, we got some questions in the house. Let's do that. Hold up.
You getting out there?
Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm sitting.
I'm the man of the people, by the way. You know that.
I'm above all of you.
Yeah.
You see me with a cross leg.
Okay. So my question is, I don't know if you guys have heard of Bobby Jindal, the Louisiana governor.
No.
So, yeah. So to bring up his point, one of the statements that he made fairly recently was that we should identify as American. Drop the Indian, drop the South Asian, drop the whatever. Asian in general. On the topic of that community, since if we are living in America, to play devil's advocate, should we have... Yeah, exactly.
I won't answer that.
Bro, it's got that. Damn, bro.
Yeah. No, I think he's talking about politically, right? So politically, I mean, I'm not an American yet, so... So
he's not talking politically, for the record. He's talking, you shouldn't identify, period. I think you're giving Bobby Jindal way too much credit.
In the sense, he's wrong if he's trying to see that nobody should identify in terms of some identity American, like Irish American. People identify them in all sorts of ways, Irish, Italian, and British. So that's the identity that we're talking about right now. So I don't think that there's an issue there. But I think in terms of politics, he has to say that.
He's saying that you get votes.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's necessary to...
Karen, you want to jump on this?
I think Bobby Jindal needs, like, a therapist. I don't like him at all. I think also that politically, yeah, to maybe get more votes, I guess that makes sense. But as an Indian American, as someone who represents us and who's, like, we don't really have that many brown politicians, to be real. Like, he needs to do a better job.
You know, that it's silly. I think that's silly what he said. But I think it's his way of encouraging Indians who think like him to sort of put themselves on the same level as white Americans, because they don't say, I'm Polish American. You know, my father-in-law's from Poland. He doesn't say I'm Polish American, he's American. But I think that's the privilege of the white person in this country.
But it does bring up the question of cultural preservation. And what is our responsibility in that pursuit?
It depends on who you are. It depends on how you feel.
And on what you do. I mean, my work is all about being South Asian. I don't need to carry around a flag.
But is that where you are carrying around a flag, aren't you?
No, it's what I'm actually interested in.
All right.
Creatively.
The reason I dance 40 hours a week is to preserve that culture, right?
So that for you is an active choice.
Yeah. You are what you do, I feel, not what you say, not what you call yourself, maybe, is how I feel.
Who else had a question? This gentleman.
All right. So this question is for those in the entertainment industry. So do you feel as if South Asian or Asian stereotypes that are portrayed in the entertainment industry kind of pervade our community and the way we consider ourselves? I guess to further that point, is that why we don't think our community is as strong, you know, as it manifests day to day?
Damn. That is a dope question.
Yo, you use a lot of big words.
No, he asked.
I'm going to have to really
I got
to
say, Apu, fucked with me a lot. That was growing up. Today, I don't know, it's hard because I'm a part of that. I'm actively a part of that. And so I don't know. Oh, man, fuck. Are they in the community? Will you tell me? Did they affect you? Shit.
I think, yeah.
So you play a character in How to Get Away with Murder, right? And you're not, like, you don't have any stereotype because you're brown. You're just a character that plays.
No, I don't have any stereotype.
Or, well, because, like, the way they write your character isn't like, oh, you know what I mean? Right? That's not your character. So do you think that if that was your character, that would pervade in the community itself? And do you think that's changing now?
The question of if it's pervading into the community is tough for me to answer. I can only answer that when I was growing up, the image that we had was Apu. Yeah. And that did pervade into me. And it was a source of a lot of fuel for people that wanted to mock me. From a standpoint of I do think that's changing. And I feel fortunate that I'm part of that change. Me as Khan, legal aid as a brown dude, hopefully that will be a new stereotype. Because the truth about stereotypes is, let's disavow the notion that stereotypes are the problem. It's the fact that large communities have only few stereotypes. Man, white people got mad fucking stereotypes. You got the hick, you've got the wasp, you've got so many stereotypes. It's just that there's so many different stereotypes that if I see a white person, I can't just immediately box them into something and then feel a certain way. But as a South Asian man, I had five. I'm not going to listen, but I had five what I call fetishized images. Akash, you're in the entertainment industry.
Yeah, I think media plays a huge role in how we view everything. I think homophobia is a lot more acceptable to younger generations because you see gay
homosexuality.
I mean, homosexuality. Whoa. Homophobia is a lot less acceptable to generations because you see gay people on TV. You see a gay couple on Modern Family. If I'm a kid watching that, oh, these are just normal people in love with a kid. Okay, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. So I think the way we're portrayed does have an impact on how younger people view themselves.
Do you think that creates friction within our community because that's how media portrays us?
Friction within ourselves? I would hope not. I would think my main thing for us is I don't like to get offended. I want us to love us. And I feel like if you love you, I don't care what anybody says about me. People have said racist things to me within the past 6 months. I haven't given a fuck because I love us. So I think my main thing is always, like, I want us to be okay with ourselves. I've said this before. We're in a society where we're trying to make everybody stop saying mean things. No one is like, hey, how about we just love us and then we'll be fine with whatever anybody says. Yeah. So my thing is, like, if I'm in control of what I'm producing, I want to make something that makes brown people be proud of being brown. That's it.
If you're talking about that there's friction among the South Asian community and about who we are with the stereotypes, I say one of the things that we can do is change it. And I think that we should lean. I'm going to say this, man. The South Asian community is horrible at funding art. Horrible at funding art. Horrible at it. I don't think I've said it enough. I mean, why aren't we? We have so much money. Why aren't we pushing out art?
They don't see the value in it. They don't see the importance of it. They want to have. It's funny. I talk about this with my parents' generation all the time. And I'm sorry. Just that they want the same voice that they perceive other communities have in America. And I say, well, then start funding the arts. Start funding humanities chairs at colleges. Start, you know, put your money where you want your influence to be. They don't get it.
And you guys are about to get now in college and for the first 5 years have no money. But then hopefully you will have some money. So y'all do that.
If we want to be more visible, you have to support the arts.
So to piggyback on that, you know, about being South Asian in the entertainment industry, do you think that within the entertainment industry there is a South Asian community, and does that help and strengthen you, or is it one of those, especially as actors, like, oh, this is the guy I'm competing against? Does the entertainment industry turn you against each other, or do you want to use a community to, like, strengthen being South Asian within entertainment?
I had this conversation with a few people that were part of. Yes and no. I think earlier, yes, there was a lot of competition, there was friction, and I didn't really feel like there was a community. I think I felt like there's only a certain amount of seats at the table, and I need to get mine. And if you're trying to get mine, I'm the crabs in the barrel thing. Or Akash was saying that. I think that there have been pockets, though. American Daisy was made. There has been a lot of pockets of South Asian. There have been South Asian theaters in New York for 20 years. So I think that both actually happen in the same way. And hopefully we can, I don't think it's happened as much once we have power. I think that our entertainers that have been in power haven't really taken a big step to move forward outside of Mira Nair. I mean, and now Gautam Chopra is doing a lot of stuff with, you know, when he did Little Master and Kobe Doc. I mean, there's people that are doing it now, but I mean, growing up, it really, there wasn't people that are in power. I don't know. I mean, Aziz's new pilot is going to center around him being Indian in the industry, and that's something. So it's shifting, but 10 years ago, I wouldn't say that it was. We had another question.
But we should acknowledge how far we've come. And Lena and I have really seen it in our lifetime. You know, Lena was a pioneer. She was doing Shakespeare in Oregon at a time when we saw no Desis even on television. So she was totally kind of expanding the boundaries of what is possible for a Desi in the industry. When Lena and I were growing up, there was only Apu, and then there were only terrorists, and then there were only cab drivers. And now we have Arjun and Akash on television. We have, you know, we have Aziz playing just a normal guy. He doesn't have to always be the Indian. His, you know, Mindy Kaling doesn't have to be defined just by her Indianness. I think the fact that she's playing a character that anyone could play, for the most part, is actually a step forward. I mean, she doesn't have to be pigeonholed by her ethnicity in the same way that she might have been 10 years ago. So, yes, it seems like every sitcom has a best friend who's an Indian, but to me, that's better than every sitcom having the Indian who's the terrorist or the terrorist wife, which is what all of my friends in our generation had to play, especially around 9/11, you know, right after 9/11.
Yeah, things have shifted remarkably quickly for our community in a way that, you know, hasn't happened for other communities. There was someone in the back that she's been waiting for a while. Oh. Jump on that. Wait for the mic, because we're recording this. We want people out in America to hear you.
Well, I guess one thing, Kieran, if you could just clarify what you said about in communities and out communities.
Okay. I took a couple psych courses, I guess, and this is a basic, like,
this was dangerous
idea
about college, y'all.
Sorry.
Little bits of information that you didn't.
I mean, okay, let's be real. It's like, just think about it. There has to be an out community for there to be an in community in any level. And this is like not even, this is just like, if you think about it, for you to feel included in something, there needs to be a community that is excluded, right?
Yeah. Sure. I mean, I guess I maybe I don't understand that as much because I think growing up for me, I always felt in between.
Okay, well, like, okay, so, like, again, growing up for me, it was, like, juggling the Indian identity and the American identity, right? Mm-hmm. So there are certain parts where I don't feel Indian enough to be mm-hmm. around Indian kids, or I don't feel white enough to be around white kids, right? So that's, like, kind of juggling the line, but the general idea, like, for there to be a South Asian community, there needs to be a community outside of South Asians that aren't in our community, is what I was trying to say.
But doesn't that go against the whole concept of intersectionality? Of community. Sorry, maybe I'm not the intersectionality, but like
I think with
intersectionality,
the
overlapping.
It's more about personal identity formation.
Sure. So I meant the community overlap.
I think just community in general is based on inclusion and exclusion. We are Trojans because we are not Bruins. We are Clippers fans because we are not Lakers fans, et cetera, et cetera. So there, just the notion of any community is often juxtaposed against the notion of another community. Now, the intersectionality of it is that in my life, you know, you're going to hate me for this. I went to law school at UCLA and I work at USC. So I can say I am a Trojan and I'm a Bruin, and those things aren't opposed to each other. That part becomes the reconciliation of competing identities. But at a theoretical level, most people would say, what it means to be a Trojan is that you are not a Bruin, and what it means to be a Bruin is that you are not a Trojan.
Gotcha.
I don't have a question. I'm actually going to answer a question, even though no one asked me a question. I do stand up. I know these guys through entertainment too. I'm glad you brought up economics, because I stepped out for a minute. I don't know if you guys touched on that. I think economics has a huge role to do with what you were saying about not enough money being put into the arts in terms of South Asians. I feel really hopeful that going forward, there's going to be a lot more money injected into that, because for our generation, for a lot of us being first generation, our parents did not think of their money as disposable income that could be funded towards an artistic medium, right? Like, that's why a lot of you are going to school for something very practical and rigid, and that's something we've struggled a lot with, which is just like trying to break out of that mold. And I think that's going to take off coming up because part so much of our identity is constricted to those really rigid roles. And after we have kids and they have kids, they're not going to identify as much with, you know, these kind of pressures, these parental pressures. And I think once we have that disposal, because we are a very rich and wealthy people, and that's also why it is a choice. Because for Black and Hispanic communities, they are systematically ghettoized. Like, they can't leave, so they have to rely on one another. It's a choice because we can afford to live amongst white people. We can afford to live amongst complete communities that, because we're autonomous, which is why there isn't, like, that barrier of entry for us, which is almost why this conversation, I feel, is, like, so much more important, because a Black guy or Hispanic guy walking down the street, it's, like, it is a choice, as always, but every day they are faced with how they are perceived. Whereas with us, because we have money and we can roll around in Benzes and Mercedes and a lot of our parents have huge houses, we don't have the same type of negative stereotypes thrown at us. Like, I used to have this joke where I did on stage. I was in El Paso. I did a joke and some guy was like, 7-Eleven. And I was like, you know, we own those stores. Like, that's what that's about. Like, we own that shit. That's why it's not like boxing in, because we're generating wealth.
Word. Right, but I do think that that issue of choice is what makes it really interesting in whether we can form, because in human nature to take the easiest path out, and if the people that are in power are not our community, why would we align? And I think that that is why we find that it oftentimes, I would love to find an orienting principle that brings us together, that allows us all to choose that way. I don't know that we have it yet. And I hope that, I don't know what it would be, but the issue of choice is really, it's really true. Any other questions?
So something that I feel like I connect with and several other students connect with is just being a student at USC within the Indian community. We identify as a grand Indian community, but going back to the differences in organizations we have AIS. AIS, which is considered technically the graduate Indian student community. We have SCIA, which is considered the undergraduate student community. And then within those communities specifically, at least for SCIA, we have people from India. We have people from Malaysia. We have people from Canada. We have people from here. It just ranges in terms of where our people are from. And within that, we have a divide in those communities. So I guess it kind of takes back to the question of, while we still have those separate communities individually in those organizations, we still combine ourselves as one community. So why do we identify ourselves differently from each other when we're still part of that one organization or that one like club or that one group of people that we identify ourselves with?
Is that an actual question or a rhetorical question?
More rhetorical, yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Cool. I don't actually have anything to say about that.
I mean, he answered the shit.
He said it. I mean, it was a beautiful comment.
So I know for me, I lived in India for 5 years, but I grew up in Canada. I grew up in Africa. But when I came to USC, for example, when I found out about SCIA, and I found out through a friend who lived in Singapore but was also brown, and she like looked up Zahair, and then she found out about SCIA. Like, it's just, for me, it was something where I saw it, and it's just something that brings us together culturally. And it's because there's certain things that I can talk about to other brown people, and they'll understand what I'm saying instead of being like, what is happening? Why are you eating with your hands?
It's really obnoxious to have to explain everything.
Yeah, exactly.
It's nice to be able to just, yeah, and not have to give context.
Exactly. And so I think more than anything, it's just that simplicity of just you get what I'm saying, you get where I'm coming from, you get what it feels like to be typecast, you get what it feels like to have a stereotype put on you. That brings us together. And no matter what your political affiliation is, no matter what major you are or what your religion is, that at the end of the day is what brings us together, I think. And that's why, like, in SCIA, we have people from different religious backgrounds, different countries, different upbringings, but it doesn't matter at the end of the day. And we all get along, and we might have, you know, like, certain intense, like, disagreements, but at the end of the day, we still get each other. So
I really like that. I really like the idea of these communities, at least on our campus, forming as sort of safe places for people, right, to not have to carry a mantle of a ancient civilization around with you. So I think of a group like MSU or the Muslim Student Union, the Hindu Student Organization, as safe places where people share a vocabulary, they share common values and experiences and aspirations. They don't have to explain everything that they do to each other. That's a place where they can be authentically themselves. And I think that's really important on a college campus, especially for students who may come from other countries or come from minority traditions.
I mean, I think for me, real quick before we end this, though. Oh, yeah. But I'm just going to say
one more question.
But real before, community allowing for safety and what safety means, if we take it one step further, and what safety means from a standpoint of allowing your light to shine, to be yourself, to be the, to me, what's the strongest strength of growth I've gotten is from accepting who I am. And the more people and the more spaces I have that are safe where I can explore that, the more I'm able to do that, the more I'm able to own myself, the more I'm able to walk the world in a more powerful and empowered way. The more I do that, I can open others and allow others to do that. And so I think that that idea of safety and community is what we're all looking for. I think the connection at the end of the day is what we're all looking for. And I think that the idea of safety and community is what's appealing.
I still have my question.
No pressure. It's just the last motherfucking question of this panel.
Okay, so do you think there can be a brown people community in the U.S. without labeling it as a South Asian community? Because personally, I'm from Kinshasa, Congo, in Central Africa, and we have a very strong brown people community, but we've never labeled ourselves as South Asians. Like, I didn't even hear of the term before I came to the U.S., but we were still a community together. There would be different, like the Gujarati community, and then there'd be the Vora community, Pakistani community, but together we'd be a brown community, but we never put the label South Asian or brown community or Desi people. We were just like, this is one of my person who came from India. This is one of my fellow Indian person who came from the U.S. So there was the sense of community, but there was no label on it.
What
Do
label?
Think
would,
that's possible.
We're going to need a label at some point because we got to put it on a letterhead.
Brown people.
That's an important. What?
Brown people. I'm being really serious. This is what's tricky about political.
But come and say, man, Latin people consider themselves brown as well.
Sure, that's fine. You the other brown people.
Motherfucker. Come on, man.
Here's a real problem I
have. Come on.
It's a real problem I got
which
with political.
One's the other, which one's the primary?
It's a real problem I got with political correctness. You always exclude somebody. There is never going to be a politically correct term for 25 years because eventually it's going to be something else. Post-traumatic stress disorder, whatever, that started a shell shock. Then it became something else. Now it's PTSD. Then I'm not PTSD. I'm you know, everything is always going to be offensive 25 years later. So Desi said, we just brown. You know what I mean? Why can't we just be brown?
And the thing is, like, we do call it brown solidarity, right? We do call it brown.
Yeah, but it's typically American term. Right? I mean, you're trying to do the positive racism thing. I mean, it doesn't look good in a sense.
To whom don't it look good? I love it. I love us.
And we brown, man. I'm brown, dog. Are you saying we shouldn't be calling ourselves brown?
No, that's an unnecessary identity in a sense.
Yeah, like, no, it's not unnecessary.
I understand there is discrimination.
Bro, black people tried to be called African American in the 90s, and they're like, man, that's a lot of syllables. I mean, look, we just go back to black power. That was simple.
But not every brown has the same culture of this thing. That's my point. As you said, Latinos are brown. So and there is already.
First of all, Latinos are not brown. They're tan. I don't understand. Like, this is not actually a difficult thing for me, but that's the thing that. I'm not lying. I mean, it's just. I mean, it's very, look, I don't, I mean,
brown.
Break out of fucking crayon box. Okay, like, I'm brown.
I have this thing. So, in.
Rose, like, guys, settle down. I need to be an adult right now.
So, the thing is, South Asian is a very recent term. So, it's hard to identify for anyone who immigrated out of India, maybe in 1940s, 1950s, and some people who even immigrated in 1900s to other countries and they lived there, like Fiji or all the Caribbeans. They lived there. So, it's hard for them to identify themselves as South Asian when they come to US, and I think
but
there are people like.
Well, let me say this.
So the Indianness is what used to be the common feature, but since it's now politically not correct to call the entire subcontinent as Indian subcontinent, we might have to face issues. So, but the brown thing is a bit positive racism, which I don't like it. I
mean, let me just say one thing. I don't know what you mean by positive racism. I'm going to put that in a can for another thing. Language is always evolving. It's South Asian is a term for now. Desi is a term that's used. We can change what that means. We are defining it right now. That is the power we have. That is the standpoint we're at. Is that we are the
We are real brown. I think I fucked up that last line, but you get the point.
Can you give me a minute?
Bruh, I'm saying I got the solution, though. I don't know why nobody listening.
I'm trying to say something, dog. Please. Man, you're embarrassing me
I'm
in public,
not
dog.
Even lying. Wait, I promise you it's just going to change again. Mentally retarded was a term. Then it was special needs. Then it was disabled. Now it was differently able. Now 5 years later, we're like, why are we differently able? We're able differently. It's going to be some shit always. Fuck political correctness.
You feel good about that? You feel good about that response?
Dumb,
or can I just
son.
Say that? Can I just
I'm so
say?
I'm glad someone asked this question.
We can define it how we want it, though.
Brown?
How we define a label is how you own it. You say that? We're on a fucking podcast called American Daisies, motherfucker.
We had to change the name because people were complaining. Now they're complaining again.
Oh, motherfucker.
Brown People Podcast. That's what we got.
Kieran wants to say something, dog.
Close us out.
Just side note about, like, brown people and, like, Hispanic people. I don't know if y'all know about the history of Central California.
Man, I don't know. No history.
Okay, so, like, literally Central California, Sticks came over in the, I don't know, when, 1800s, and all their wives were Mexican, so all the brown people are brown.
That's right.
Oh,
shit. She just dropped knowledge. I told you, they brown, son. We brown.
So everybody.
We run this.
All right.
That's what she just said.
Who has, yeah. Hold up.
So, I agree with the positive racism thing that he was talking about. Like, I don't know if he would call it that, but I know that I can safely say that I was more affected than a lot of you because of what 2611 was, because I live in Bombay, and I've had, like, friends, and and people that I know that have, like, not made it out of 2611, and they're very, very, very close to me, but that does not mean that I hated Pakistan after 2611. That does not mean that my parents hated Pakistan after 2611, and that's something that actually really irritates me, because when I came to USC, and which was like in January, there are people who like me who say, oh yeah, you can't wear short clothes at home because your parents will be like, okay, that this is not part of Indian culture. But I've grown up wearing shorts and I've grown up wearing bikinis, and I don't know stuff like this, but I've just been typecasted or generally just like categorized into somebody who's had a very orthodox background or who doesn't like Pakistan. But that's not me. So what part of the community do I fit in? So I don't understand that.
I hear you. I mean, all of my family's in Mumbai except for my mom who came over. She's one of the youngest of nine. So after that event, you know, I was hearing from all of my cousins, my aunts and uncles, my nieces and nephews. And even within our family, there were wildly different reactions to that. Some people were blaming Pakistan immediately, and it gave vent to their knee-jerk Islamic hatred. Other parts of my family were like, let's wait and see, you know, very reasonable. I feel like because we're still a relatively new immigrant community in America, I feel like we're just going through these growing pains. You know, it kind of saddens me to hear, because there's a significant age difference between you two and me. It makes me sad to hear that you're still feeling alone, because that's how I was feeling, you know, when I was talking to you in Irving, Texas, in the 1980s.
We're technically in the same generation. They're actually a different generation.
Well, definitely. Of course they are, but so I feel like we still have a few more, perhaps, generations to go where we don't always. I totally hear what you're saying about it's so nice to be around a bunch of Indians. Even if it's like Varun, you are American. You're like, my brother was born here. You know, he's American. But when I'm with a group of Indians, and I'll say Indians and not South Asians because that's such a big term, but there's a certain amount of explaining I don't have to do. You know, around my in-laws, who I love so much, they're incredible people. I still feel a little bit like I have to explain why we do things this way and da da da. And I've been married for 10 years now, you know. So I guess there's just a few more cycles we have to go through to where we don't have. And so a lot of my work that I do for theater and for TV, and a lot of more people that are way more prominent than I am, I mean, we're just showing Indians being Indians, like Arjun's character on How to Get Away with Murder. He just happens to look like he does, and he plays what he plays. That's happening more and more. I think the more that we see that, and we see ourselves reflected in the media, the easier it will be on all of us to not have it.
Can I just say, you do bring up an interesting point, because we talk about this a lot. Is the India that we are, or the Pakistan or the Bangladesh that we are, you know, imagining that we are preserving, one that doesn't even exist anymore? And that is a really, I think we need to acknowledge that the South Asian American community is different than the South Asian. Like, it's its own culture. South Asian American culture is different. It's a diasporic community that is different than the cultures of the homeland. It's why we don't really feel like, why I don't really feel like when I'm in India, I'm Indian. Gotham Chopra, we were just interviewing me today, he says he has this line, he says, I'm Indian everywhere except in India. So I think that's a true point. And if you just got here in January, maybe the South Asian American community is going to be harder for you to, you might have to assimilate to, or you might have to educate in some ways. Maybe it's not going to stay the same kind of community that she feels. It may not provide the same level of safety, but hopefully it provides some more safety than a different community. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but that is.
So I think what we would try to define culturally here are the things that, I don't know what they are, but the things that we're sad are being lost in India. Like one thing, I heard there's a lot more nuclear families popping up in India. Personally, I love the India where all the families together in one house. That might be more traditional. I don't know what we.
It's not like big joint families and everyone just doesn't dress up every day in saris.
But at the same time, there is a focus on family that you can't deny. There's a focus on family in India that even if you don't live in the same house, and maybe there's like pockets of it where it doesn't, but like family is an important part of India. Like that is an important part of like South Asian culture. Yeah. Guys, for you that can't hear because we can't get the mic around fast enough, there's a lot of discussion happening. Here's the issue. We have to get out of this place because there are, we have to wrap up. We don't have the time to stick around. But we are happy to continue this conversation off the microphone. We'll hang out here. Akash and I will be
up. Samosas. We'll all talk.
Around. We'll chat. If we need to argue more, let's do it. Let's be family. Let's love
each other. Thank you guys so much for coming out. Thank you to the panelists. Lena,
yeah.
Kieran, Rohit, Dr. Sony.
For those of you listening at home, we're going to drop this discussion in a couple days to talk about it. Hit us up on our Twitter. Hit us up on our Facebook. You know the drill.
Also, rate the podcast. Review the podcast. Subscribe to the podcast.
Also, yeah, everybody in the audience, the 19 of you.
Give us a five-star review. Talk about how, funny I am. Talk about how sexy Arjun is.
Yeah, boy. But yeah, seriously, love us.
Whatever.
American Daisies. AmericanDaisiesPodcast.com.
Yeah, right. Right now it's Indian, American. It's changed. By the time we air. Fucking political correctness.
Oh my
everybody
God.
Out here fucking complaining.
There's love. Let's end on a note of love. I love everyone. You all here are my family. Good night. Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, if you enjoyed, we're going to be back to our regular schedule on Monday. We're going to be dropping an interview and then a discussion a few days later. If you enjoyed our stuff, please rate, review, spread the word. And upcoming weekend is 4th of July, so I want everyone to be safe, have a beautiful time, barbecue, eat mad food, and be well. I'm Arjun. We'll catch you in a couple days.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.